Luke chapter 18, verses 28 and 29. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time than the world to come, life everlasting." So I'm trying to preach tonight on the benefits of being a true believer. And when I say true believer, I emphasize that. Because 1 Corinthians 15 says that it's possible to believe in vain. Paul talked about the gospel. He declared unto them how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He said, you're saved by this unless you believe in vain. So there are some people that believes in vain. They have intellectual belief. They believe in historical facts, but don't believe with the heart. And the heart is who you are, not the organ that pumps the blood. The heart is the inward man. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. God's not them of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. In other words, the sinner's heart must be broken, his spirit must be crushed, and he must be in the dust of repentance, as it were. That's not necessarily at the front of a church house, or you wouldn't have to be down on your knees. God deals with the heart of man. Repentance and faith is a heart work of the Spirit of God. Well, you and I have thought that up. We couldn't repent on our own. We're commanded to, and we're commanded to believe. But you can't do it on your own. You got to have some help. Because Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. As written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. He therefore that heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. So you've got to hear and be taught from God. God uses his word to teach us. That's what it talks about in James 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Therefore, in the light of that, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so if people would be swift to hear and hear as it were for eternity, then they'd get begotten of the word. And according to 1 Peter 1, 23, they'd be born again, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if I understand it right, God puts the word, this is the seed, puts it in your heart, germinated by the Spirit of God, works repentance and faith that produces the original seed, which is the living word, Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. When you get the living word in you, then you'll love the written word and won't be changing Bibles next year. We believe that God gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. No prophecy of the Scriptures, any private interpretation. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So when you get born of the word of God, you can rejoice that thy word is one that finds great spoil. So one benefit of a true believer is that he has an assurance of everlasting life. Jesus gives us life everlasting because he gives us his life. And his life is everlasting life. John 5:24, he that cometh to me and heareth these sayings of mine, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So I'm glad if you're saved, you pass from spiritual death unto life. Now we were dead and trespassing in sin. That means we're dead toward God. You have to watch there, the close line. The extreme Calvinist say a fellow's a sinner, it's like this piece of wood, or like the man in the funeral home. Now, that's not true. When Adam sinned, Adam died toward God. His faculties died toward God. He's very much alive every other way, morally, socially, intellectually. Sinner's very much alive every other way. He's dead toward God. His spirit's dead toward God. So, you have to be quickened or made alive. He makes your spirit alive. That's what the new birth is. God making the spirit alive. It's a spiritual birth. It's a quickening. It's a quickening. I appreciate that, don't you? It's a work of the Spirit. Titus chapter 3, and starting in verse 3, we also ourselves are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living malice and envy, hate from hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Here's how He done it. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost renews our spirit, makes us alive toward God. That's why we love Him, because He first loved us. That's why we love the children of God, because God loved, put His love in our heart, shed it, brought in our heart with the Holy Ghost. Now we love our brother, and we know we're passing this life because we love the brethren. So if you don't like to go to church, you probably wouldn't be happy you got to go to heaven. You know, I know if people think they're going to go to heaven, they wouldn't even go to church. The religion's so short, it won't even come back on Sunday night. Oh, one brother said, called me not too long ago, said, do you believe once saved, always saved, Brother Mitchell? I said, you been once saved? He said, no. I said, don't talk about being always saved, you get once saved. A lot of people need to get once saved, then they're always saved. If you got His life, you got eternal life. Bible codes it there in the verse I give you is everlasting life, but it's eternal life. Eternal life has no beginning and no ending. Eternal life's in Christ. When you get in Christ, you get into eternal life. Eternal life gets into you. So eternal life has no beginning and no ending. Christ stood as a lamb slain for the foundation of the world. He stood in our shoes before we ever got here and signed our bond, signed our surety note. If I go down here to borrow some money, I got to find one of you fellas that'll sign my note. You tell the banker, if Mitchell can't pay or don't pay, I will pay. You're hoping I'll pay, of course. But that counted eternity of the covenant of mercy made a blood covenant, and Jesus stood in our shoes and signed our bond knowing we couldn't pay. He agreed to come down here in time and go to the cross and pay off the debt we owed. He died at the cross as the worst sinner that ever lived, so God could save the worst sinner that ever lived. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. So, in a true believer, there's the work of the Spirit, there's the witness of the Spirit inside. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's no feeling in salvation. I thought one guy said, you ought to say, as far as you know, there's not. Feeling is not salvation, but there is a feeling in salvation. Jesus explained John 3 and verse 8. He said, it's as the wind that bloweth. If you can't feel a wind, you better go to the hospital tomorrow. Now, the feeling's not the cause. The feeling is evidence that it is blowing. So, if the Spirit of God gets on the inside of you, you're going to know He's in there. For the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 10, whosoever believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He believes not God made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave His Son. This is the record God gave us, eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you might know that you have eternal life. So if we're saved, we know we have eternal life because we have His life. And we have the witness of the Spirit. If any man have much Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. One brother said, you think I got the Holy Ghost? I said, I don't know. Do you want to be holy? If you don't want to be holy, you don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes you want to be holy. Christ come in here to save us that we might be holy. That not just go to heaven, that we be holy. If you do not pursue holiness, I don't believe you're a true believer. I believe you're a superficial believer. If the Holy Spirit touches you, the grace of God comes on the inside of you, you're born again, you have a desire for holy things. You can't never get as holy as you'd like to get, but you have a desire to be holy. The more holy you get, the more unholy you see you are. That's right. You don't go around with a self-righteous attitude thinking you're right and everybody else is wrong. You say with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall live me from the body of this death? We know that in us, that is in our flesh, dwells no good thing. The only good thing in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I'm glad if you're saved, you're to walk after the Spirit. And Galatians 5:16 said, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, which shall not fulfill us the flesh. Flesh does against the Spirit, Spirit against flesh, neither can rule one another. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do the things in the Spirit that you would, because of the flesh. You can't do the things in the flesh you would, because of the Spirit. You got a warfare going on. Everybody, you got a warfare? Got two natures. Now, I know you're talking to a fellow about two natures that don't have two natures. He don't understand what you're talking about. He can't get it. You can't explain that. Salvation can be experienced, it can't be explained. You can't explain a birth. You can tell folks what the Bible said. Christ died for sinners. You repent and believe the gospel, you can be saved. You can't repent for the man bowing his head and saying a prayer to you or me. It's not salvation. A lot of people think you're supposed to go down. I mean, when that screen door religion started. I was in Hammond, Indiana when Jack Hiles got there. I used to live there. I remember when he ruined all of the visitation because they wouldn't take no for an answer. They pushed Jesus down on everybody and having to walk out on Sunday morning and baptize them. That was the profession of faith. And most of them never did come back. It's too shallow. Too shallow. Leads people astray. Real salvation is a deep work of God's grace in your heart wrought by the Spirit of God making you a new creature in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. That is all things new man is of God. With the reconciled of the same temple of Jesus Christ and committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's just what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're saved, you're a new creature. No more whiskey drinking, poker playing, die shooting, women chasing, dirty joke telling, lottery ticket buying, laying out of church and cussing the preacher. No more of that. No more of that if you're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Hold, all things are become new. And it don't say how, it says are. And all things are of God. All things new man is of God. With the reconciled death, tempted up of Jesus Christ, and committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. I like it, don't you? When you commit to Christ, Christ commits to you. Salvation is a committal to God. Paul said, I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. You know why there's so many divorces? No commitment. You know how people come make their profession and you don't never see them after 3 months? No commitment. Paul said, I made a commitment. A marriage is unconditional commitment, not if everything goes good. Divorce courts are packed to capacity. You can get divorced quicker than you can get married. A lot of people's caught in a bad situation. I'm not hammering on nobody. I'm just saying now, when you get married, it's supposed to be an unconditional commitment. The woman agrees, a bad situation. I'm not hammering on nobody. I'm just saying now, when you get married, it's supposed to be an unconditional commitment. The woman agrees to leave all of the men for this one. Man agrees to leave all of the women for this one. God makes them one flesh. That's what the Bible says. And a lot of people said, well, you think God saved anybody been married? Oh, yeah, God saved one woman been married 5 times. One fellow said, well, I don't think God saw the first marriage. Had nothing to do with it. Well, he acknowledged all 5 of her marriages, and still, she wasn't even one wasn't hers. Ain't that right? That's John. Is that John chapter 4, I think? Long in there somewhere. Some Samaritan woman. See, let me just get on that right quick while I'm on that. Everybody, all of us are like that Samaritan woman was. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who I was talking to you, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. Be a well of water, springing up life everlasting. She said, give me this water. I want this water on my terms. He said, go call your husband. See, modern day preachers, they'd say, just as soon as she asked for the water, she got the water. He didn't give it to her right as soon as she asked. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. Which is true, naturally. She wasn't living with any of them. He said, you've told the truth, as far as it goes, but you've had 5 and 1 you got now is not yours. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. In other words, I perceive you know all about me. Did you know he knows all about everybody? And when she said, I perceive you're a prophet. First thing you learn about Christ is not his saviorship. You learn that he's a prophet. He knows all about you. You can't hide anything. You can't slip in. You can't get the salvation on your terms. She would have got salvation on her terms if she could have. But Christ never gives it on our terms. He gives it on his terms. She did finally throw the water pot down, got the well, went into town, told the men of the city, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. She didn't even talk about the water. She talked about her conviction. See, if you miss conviction, you miss repentance. If you miss repentance, you miss faith. You miss faith, you miss Christ, you miss Christ, you go to hell when you die. It's always in those steps. It's always. See, that's why you want to be careful with folks so they will understand that repentance is a broken heart and a change of attitude toward God, toward His rule. It's a heart work of grace. A change of attitude toward the rule of God. We're rebels by nature. Everybody's a rebel by nature. That's why you get rebellious after you get saved. We've got a rebellious nature. Some are more rebellious than others. Some children's harder to control than other children are. So some natures are worse, more rebellious. But God's going to break that rebellion before you get saved. So, one of the benefits of a true believer, you've got assurance of everlasting life. We've been crucified with Christ and been raised with Him, committed to Him, converted to Him. Christ is our all in all now. And then we have a peace in our heart that could pass all understanding if you let your mind stay on God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. When we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. In other words, we exercise faith that He gives us. He's the author of our faith, the finisher of our faith. So we exercise that faith in Christ. And God, for Christ's sake, forgives us and cleanses us and saves us. And we stand by faith in this grace justified. Justification is what God does in heaven for us. That's declaring us right. Regeneration is what God does in your heart. You cannot feel justification. You can feel regeneration. So God regenerates in your heart to let you know that He's done something for you in heaven. You wouldn't know He did anything apart if He didn't let you know it inside. The Spirit said by His witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 said, He is our peace. Who hath made both one and reconciled both in Himself. Broken down the middle of partition to reconcile. So that means made peace with God. Christ went to the cross and reconciled. Done the reconciliation work. Now the only way to do us any good is to exercise faith. Apply that reconciling work in our heart by faith. He reconciled the world to Himself. That's Ephesians 5:19. To which God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Imputed their trespass on them. He took the world's sin. He imputed the world's sin to Christ. Christ went to the cross and done the reconciling work. Now, if you appropriate that reconciling work to you by faith, then you can be reconciled to God and have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Can't beat that, can you? The Bible said in, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. In Jamestown language, that means quit worrying. Be careful enough in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, the path of all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now it disturbs me to see the condition our country is in, condition our community is in, condition our churches is in, but it don't disturb my peace. I got peace with God. I'm concerned about it and I pray about it, but listen, God don't want you to be frustrated about what's going on. We're victims of the time. The Lord's going to come soon. Keep your mind stayed on Him, and you can have perfect peace in your heart. And stop worrying. So Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give. I'm giving you my peace. Thank God for peace. Now let the peace of God rule in your heart. Have peace one with another. Ain't that what it said? Nothing like peace. I like it. Then a true believer has access to God's storehouse in prayer. I like this one mediator between God and men, that's the man, Christ Jesus. Just one mediator. Not the Pope, not the Cardinals, not the man-made priest. One priest. That's what the Bible says. And seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. If you've made that profession in Christ, He's faithful and promised. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. A lot of people are wavering around today. You know, I think there's a lot of saved folks, you can't tell whether they're saved or not because they're wavering, wobbling around. May God help us to hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. He is faithful to promise. I'm going to heaven on His faithfulness, not on my faithfulness. Amen. That kind of stir you up? Stirs me up. Bible said in Hebrews 7:24, with this man, because he continues ever hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them the uttermost that come to God by him. See, he ever lives to make intercession for them. Second high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That's the only kind of peace that can be in the presence of God, only kind of priest can be in the presence of God for us. And please God for us. Now, he can be touched with the finger of our infirmities. He is tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So we got direct access into God's storehouse. The greatest privilege God ever given man to fallen man is the privilege to pray. And prayer is not how you say your words. I wish I could word my prayer like I want to, but I can't do that. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He makes our knees known and groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm glad we have a high priest, aren't you? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Not obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is a time of need, and we need grace to help us in the time of need. I talked to a preacher on the way here tonight with a broken heart. Children gone astray. Children raised in a Christian home, homeschooled, raised by one of the best preachers I know of and his wife. We're living in a difficult time right now. Nobody's exempt. You better not crow too loud. Maybe you next. Things happening. I told him, I said, hey, it could be a lot worse. You could find out one of them's a sodomite. That'd be worse, wouldn't it? I know them across the country, right out of Christian homes. You'd never thought it. Raised right in the good church where the gospel is preached. Wind up going to the world, getting all perverted with this mess that's in the world. If you run with this world in the crowd, you'll be like them. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. That's why you can't fool around with this bunch of compromisers. Can't mess around with these bunch of liberals. I think liberals are a sanctified word for liars. What do y'all think? And look in the Bible, you'll find all such things as a liberal preacher. You'll find lying preachers. Amen. Men's either telling the truth or telling a lie one. No, he used to put chocolate on him and say, well, he's a good fellow, just a liberal. Jesus didn't talk good to them fellows. He didn't talk good about them either. He called them fools and blind guides and serpents. Whited sepulchers. That's pretty rough. That's rougher than I ever preach. A lot of people think I preach rough. Go read Matthew 23 if you think I preach rough. You talk about knocking the wind out of them now. He told, said, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? You whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Religious bosses running a religious world. They hated him. I told somebody a while back when that Pope was up here in the East. They said, what about that crowd following him? I said, that's the descendants of them that killed the apostles in Christ. If they could kill Christ again today and could get to him, they would do it. Don't think they wouldn't do it. They would do it. The only reason they kill them preachers, the only reason they kill Christians, they can't get to God. If they can get to God, they'd shoot him off the throne. Read that Bible. There's going to be a last rebellion even after the millennial kingdom. They're going to try to overthrow God even over way over there. After he's reigned 1,000 years and ruled with a rod of iron, they still think they can do it. They're going to battle him at the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to have to slay the whole outfit there with the brightness of his coming. Man's a rebel. We need to preach on total depravity a while. We're so depraved in sin and such rebels against God. Our hearts deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our minds blinded by the god of this world. And listen, our ears are dull of hearing. Our feet run swift to mischief. Poison of asp under our lips and under our tongue. Throats like an open sepulcher. Man's totally ruined. If God don't work a miracle in your life, you're ruined world without end. I'm glad God crossed my will and broke my heart, hallelujah. And as preaching the old time gospel, I got an old time Sinai conviction and got redeemed with the blood of Christ. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what the church believed. I didn't know what the Bible said. I just knew two things. I'm a terrible sinner on my road to hell, and Jesus Christ died for me, they said, and said he'd save me if I'd come. I didn't know how to pray. I just cast all of my care upon him. God, for Christ's sake, forgive my sins. Made me a new creature in Christ. I've been going to heaven every day since I started that way. Some days I hadn't felt like I was going. But I was going. I got around a good old time meeting where there was a singing and a preaching. I felt saved again. Amen. I'm glad we got access to God's storehouse, aren't you? What God's given me this far, what's going to give me? You know, I'm going to get me as far as I'm going. One old fellow up there in Scott County, I was told this. I didn't know him back then, but they said he was a millionaire in the Depression. They said when he died, he was worth $26 million. Phil said to me, when he died, he said, you know how much you left? I said, yeah, he left it all. Just like you and me gonna leave it all. If you can't take it with you when you die, you don't own it. Only thing you own is what you can take with you, and that's your soul. Take care of your soul. The soul is the part that leaves out when you body ceases to breathe here. Your soul lives on. Listen, you can lose your body and soul in hell. That's what the Bible says. And we believe the Bible, don't we? Well, let me hurry. Another thing true believers have is angelic protection. Thank the Lord to camp around about them, fear the Lord, to deliver them. I'm glad for his angels. You can't see them. They're invisible beings. Sometimes they can appear. They can appear in the body form. I don't think I've seen any. I've seen some that kind of look like them in churches, but I never did. I don't think I've seen any. I might have seen one or two. You think you've seen any angels? Some people entertain angels unawares. We might have seen angels and didn't know it. Don't you think so? Well, old Sennacherib, he's going to go over there to overthrow the people of God. Hezekiah got a letter from him. Coming in there at the end of the day, he just got down and went to pray and spread that letter out for the Lord. No match for him, Lord. This is my words now. We need some help down here. Lord said, hold still. I'll take care of that. Dispatched the angel from heaven the same night. Killed 135,000 Assyrian soldiers. Next morning, they looked like a bunch of corpses. They weren't a bunch of corpses. They never were. I mean, angels, they move at the speed of thought. Angel come all the way from the third heaven, killed 185,000, went back to heaven the same night. Did you know? That's why Jesus said, when we, at the resurrection, we're going to be as the angel. Not angel, but as angel. We're going to move in the speed of thought. That's what Christ was in the body. After he resurrected, went to the third heaven and come back same day. And that's how it's going to be in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. When we get a new body, we're going to move in the thought, speed of thought. Just be out in the body, praying to the Lord. For quicker than you can think. Fastest moving part of a human being's body is eye. Like a twinkling of an eye. That's what it says. Prim and I, the last trump. Trump shall sound. Yes, we raised in trouble. We should be changed. Won't that be something when we get a new body? How people all over the country. One fellow said to me, he said, well, do you think we look then like we do now, Brother Mitchell? I said, do you want to look then like you do now? Do you know if anybody wants to look then like they do now? You think some of us fellas are going to have a haircut with a hole in it then? There's only been two perfect men in the world and you didn't get to see either one of them. That was the first Adam before he sinned. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't have anything wrong with him. Until Adam got sin in him. He didn't have anything wrong with him, so he's in a perfect body, natural body. And Christ, when he got up from the grave, he was in a spiritual body that had no blood in it. Body of glorified flesh and bone. So, 1 John chapter 3, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I don't know what all that means. I just know we're going to be glorified like he is. We're going to have a glorified body. What a day that'll be. Have a new body? Amen. We won't have no blood in it. Life of the flesh is in the blood. One fellow said, I don't think I got anything wrong with that. You just haven't found it out yet. You got blood poison. That's why when you get something wrong with you, they take some blood, see if they can find out what's wrong with you. You got problems in your blood, the bloodstream. Sin runs to the end of every finger, end of every toe. We got problems. Physical problems. Amen. We're going to have a new body, has no problems. No pain. Amen. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to that. That's why we're to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're looking to get saved outside. We're not saved outside right now. We're just saved inside. Don't be trying to save on yourself. When Jesus comes, we're going to have full salvation, complete salvation. And it's nearer than when we believe. What a day that'll be. Wouldn't that be something? I'm longing for that time. I'm looking for that. I mean, everybody be well. Everybody be happy. Amen. Happy forever. It's going to be more than just shouting, and I think more than that. That's going to be part of it. Listen, it's a real body and a real place. That's another thing. True believers has a place in heaven reserved. Is it 1 Peter 1? And verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, begotten again to a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then to an inheritance uncorrupt, incorruptible, undefiled, and the faith by the way, reserved in heaven for you who are kept of the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed for the last time. Listen, that's why we're groaning. We're groaning. And earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. In this body we groan, groaning for a new body to fit the man that's on the inside. We got a new man inside, an old man outside. Somebody said to me last Christmas, said, you know, this is Jesus' birthday. I said, oh, is it? How old is he? He said, well, you know what I mean. I said, I don't know what you mean. I'm from Jamestown. I have to explain everything. Everybody has birthdays, gets older. Now, I don't want to knock the wind out of him. I'm just trying to make a point. Christ hadn't had any birthdays since he resurrected. Time puts no wrinkles on his brow. See, you move out of time. Christ moved out of time. into eternity. We went back to heaven. You think about that now. Everybody has birthdays, gets older. And the church knew nothing about any birthday with, about Jesus Christ until 325 A.D. Not one verse of scripture in the Bible tells you when he was born or remember his birth. I tell you what it does say, it says you remember his death at the Lord's table. You don't always amaze me over our way. House will be full if you have a Christmas play, if you have a communion service, you don't want to have a dozen or two. Do what God said not to do and everybody come. Do what God said do and want nobody ought to come. Look at me. Ain't that right? Is that the way it is around here? I'm not down browbeating you. I understand it's so deep. They know you're preaching against Christmas. Christ has. Everybody's lined up in it. You can, there wouldn't be no use in that. You know, the world loves it. We love it. Everybody loves it. And it's all right to have some fun and fellowship with your family and friends. I'm not preaching. I'm not trying to be a radical. But I'm saying, you don't want to make idolatry out of that. You can make idolatry out about anything, you know. May God help us to realize that our home is in heaven. Our permanent home is not down here. We're just passing through here. We're going where He is. He's coming after us one day. He's coming with a shout in the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Then Christ rise first. That's how we know it's a Baptist church. It plainly says the dead in Christ will rise first. And the living saints will be changed. Come together with the others. Meet the Lord there. I've been in churches where a good hallelujah and amen be worth $15. See, it don't take me near as long to preach if I don't have to say my own amens. May God help us. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're saved by hope. That's what Romans 8 says. Saved by hope. Verse 24. That is outside, not inside. Inside man saved by grace through faith. Outside man saved by hope. Hope that seeth not, hope for the man seeth, but he doesn't hope for it. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we patiently wait for it. Right now we're waiting to get saved outside while we're saved inside. Ain't that right? That's why we're told to rejoice and hope. We're told to rejoice about something that hadn't even happened yet. We just got a promise that it's going to happen. The Lord's going to come, going to get up in glorified bodies. Living says it's going to be changed. The glorified body, you're supposed to be rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. That's what it says. See, I know what it is. Everybody look up here. I know what it is to have no hope. That means to be in a state of despair. At that time, you were without Christ, being able to become of Israel, strange to become of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2. Had no hope. And I remember when God gave me a good hope through grace. 2 Thessalonians 2, I think, 16. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have given us everlasting consolation, good hope through grace. So I had no hope. Now I got a good hope. Then because of that good hope, I got the blessed hope. The blessed hope is Jesus is coming. Politicians ain't going to help. I mean, they're not going to cure it. Might get somebody, I hope I get somebody that can slow it down a little. It's too bad a shape to cure. I told one Christian that had a wreck, spiritual wreck. He was crying and weeping. I said, well, here's the good thing about it. I said, now you've had a wreck, but you can get fixed. Because you're not totaled out. But if you total it out, it winds up in the junkyard. Just because you had a wreck, no sign you quit. I've had several wrecks. Men run over with a Mack truck and everything else. When I got run over with a Mack truck, it totaled my van out. They said it didn't even look like a van. I didn't see it. The big Mack truck hit me head on. They thought I was dead. Wasn't for the grace of God, I would have been dead. Then they thought I wasn't going to make it for a long time. Hadn't been for the grace of God, I wouldn't have made it. If you're in the will of God, you can't go out. The Lord gets ready for you to go out. I believe that much sovereignty. Don't you? But here, there's a place reserved in heaven. Special reservations made in heaven for you who are saved. There's special reservations. Nothing can alter that. Now, if you're not careful, you get there early. You can get there early if you're not careful. You can commit the sin unto death as a Christian. So what I want to do, since I got to face the judgment seat, I want to try to do right. Try to do the best I can, because I know I'm have to receive from Him the things done the body according to what you've done. So everything we've done since we got saved, got to be given account of. Got to receive Him. We're going to receive rewards or lose rewards. Now some people don't believe in any rewards. I never did study rewards because I never did think I'd get any much. One fellow asked me, what a disciple's reward? I said, I don't know. I just read about the rewards in there, a lot of questions I couldn't answer. I just know Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, my reward's with me to give every man according to his works will be." So there is rewards, and you can lose rewards. There'll be something terrible going up to the judgment seat. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He's talking to the church there. Something terrible going to be going up to the judgment seat of Christ. Did I preach what I was supposed to preach? Was the motive right? Did I preach to try to help people? Was I exalting Christ, preaching what I was supposed to preach? I'm worried about my motive more than my message. Was my motive right to try to help people and enlighten them and help them do the will of God? Not to try to run them off. Anybody can be mean. I've seen preachers want to see how mean they can be. Well, that's tavern talk. You don't want to see how mean you can be. See how good you can be and how sweet you can be. We're mean enough without even trying to be mean. Don't you think we are? I think we are. May God help us. Love. I told Bill he was aggravated to the church. I said, "You can't preach to him aggravated at him." I've tried that. That don't work. You got to love the sheep. Shepherd loves the sheep. Loves the lambs. That's why you want to try to keep them in the fold. Get them back in the fold. They start out of the fold because he loves them. That's why Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Lovest thou me?" He wasn't going to turn his sheep over just anybody. You got to love him first. May God help us to be filled with love. How many folks are saved? Let's see. God bless you. Ain't it good to know you're saved? Well, if you don't know, it's good now to get saved. He turned his right close to us, maybe closer than we think. Somebody's went out since we've been here. 150,000 people die every day around the universe. That's a whole lot of them. Funeral homes don't have to pray for business now. They're all busy, even out of a little old town like we're in. Burying 4, 5, 6 a week, both funeral homes. Sometimes more than that. Sometimes young people overdosing, all kind of sin, killing people today. Best thing to do is turn to Christ, get saved, live the Lord. Life's very short. Soon we'll go out to meet the Lord. May God help us. Come with a song if you would, please. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you again. In Jesus' name, for this good Spirit of God in the service. Thank you, Lord, for this church and Brother Duncan, Lord, his labors here. Thank you for each one that's present. You know every need. Give us judgment day honesty, Lord. There might be some Christians need to pray. There might be some Christians need to confess their sins to you, Lord. There might be some sinners here. I don't know. Even conviction, Lord. Help sinners to see their need, we pray. Help them to turn to you in repentance and faith. I understand salvation is accomplished and available. We pray in Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving. Amen.